I wasn't kidding. I am going to start off with a joke. Well, I got an email the other day, and it explained to me the real reason behind the fact you can't put the Ten Commandments up on the wall in courthouses and in Congress and stuff like that. Well, putting up a list that has statements in it about thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery, and you put that up in the places where lawyers and judges and politicians work, and that actually creates what's known as a hostile work environment.
Yeah.
It's not like they read them anyway. And it's sure not like anybody obeys them. Anyhow, back to Genesis chapter 22. And I'm just going to read one verse this time. Verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son," this is an answer to Isaac's question, "where's the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. Now, as I said last week, Abraham was told by God to go make this sacrifice, to kill his son, his only Isaac. So Abraham got up and they left. Obedience. They traveled for 3 days, during which Abraham, for all intents and purposes, considered Isaac dead. They reached the mount, and the father and the son left the others behind and went up into the mount alone. Now, Abraham did say that him and the lad would come again, but they went alone. Abraham placed the wood on Isaac. Isaac carried the wood just as Christ carried his cross. But they were alone because the sacrifice for sin was planned, was purposed, planned, and provided by the Godhead, by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But here we're seeing the Father and the Son alone doing this, because man was not even created when the quote plan of salvation was made. Jesus Christ was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Now, Abraham knew this. Abraham was acting under the orders of God because Abraham believed God. The proof's in this passage right here that I just read, verse 8. "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And they went together. That's believing God. If you back up just for a second here at the end of verse 12 in chapter 21, well, this is the whole thing. "And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman." This is when he was putting out Ishmael. "In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now, there's a little star by that in my Bible, which means that's a messianic verse. Paul speaks of it in the New Testament. He said seed as one, not seeds as many. Christ was coming through the lineage of Isaac. And he did.
Yeah.
So Abraham had that promise. Abraham believed that promise. God will provide himself a lamb. And God, in the fullness of time, did provide himself as the Lamb of God. What John the Baptist said, here's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And behold the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the seed of Isaac. Abraham believed this. The God of heaven will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for his people. Abraham believed this. Isaac believed this. God did this. Abraham bound Isaac, laid him on the wood, and raised the knife to slay him. And I do agree with Earl when he said, fully believing that God would raise him from the dead, because in Isaac shall my seed be called. And Isaac was laying there waiting to be slain. Then God stopped Abraham. Here at this moment, when God told Abraham, don't lay a hand on the lad, Isaac became alive again to the father, to Abraham, after those 3 days of thinking him dead. At that time, Isaac became alive again. Abraham was told not to do anything to Isaac, because right here, at this moment, the type of Isaac as Christ and Abraham as the father, that type's over. That part of it is over, because Isaac lives again in the eyes of Abraham. The type of Isaac as Christ, the sacrifice, ends right here at this part. But this account doesn't end. We could have stopped, God could have stopped this incident right here, and we'd had a picture of what Christ was going to do. What Christ did do. The Father and the Son, Abraham and Isaac, could have come back down the mount showing to us that the Son lived again. Just like the father had told them when they went up, I and the lad will return. But instead of this, it kind of switches. Because Isaac goes from being a type of Christ to being a representative of what he was in reality. If you want, a type of us, a sinner, who needed a sin offering. Isaac is shown here now as a chosen child of God. Abraham looks up and sees a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Now, I've got thickets at my house. Well, what I've got are briars. And they'll cut you up and they'll hold you. Christ had a crown of thorns placed upon his head. This ram was caught by his horns in a thicket. That's the thorns. Just one of them little things that God throws in there. Very coincidental. No, not really. It was planned. It was purposed. It was provided. God provided that ram that Abraham saw in a thicket by his horns. Abraham offered up the ram in the place of his son Isaac. A substitute was made. Isaac, as a child of God, was spared by the death of another. by the death of a ram, which took his place as a burnt offering. What we are shown here again, is the fact that there is no sin offering without the shedding of blood. There is no sin offering without death, because death is the punishment for sin. I don't know how many people there are that really have no idea what the punishment for sin is. And it comes from the fact they really don't know what sin is. Walter said it, Earl said it before, and we've heard others say it. That's my turn, I'm going to say it. Sin is an offense against God. It's not an offense against me, it's not an offense against you, even though that may be involved. It's not an offense, even though I may be offended by it. Sin is against God. And God has said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So here in this picture, we have this ram taking the place of Isaac on that altar for a burnt offering, a sin offering. Its blood was shed, it died, and it was burnt up. It was acceptable to God as a substitute in type. Jesus Christ came in reality into this world in the likeness of sinful flesh. In the likeness of sinful flesh. No sin in him. On the cross, there was sin on him. Laid on him, but there was no sin in him. No possibility, no chance. What's the word, Walter? Impeccable. Christ couldn't have sinned. No way. Christ, Jesus Christ, is God. And when Jesus Christ came and walked on this earth, he was God. Behold the Lamb of God. What did the Father say that was never said about anybody else? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And that's the part everybody leaves out. And that's the part nobody wants. Jesus Christ was a great teacher. He was a wonderful leader. And his works and shut up and do what he said. I don't want that. After the death of this substitutionary ram here, Abraham and the lad went back down the mount to where they had left the servants. Now this prophecy of Abraham, like I said, verse 8, came to pass about 2,000 years ago. God provided in the fullness of time, at the designated place, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, exactly what even John the Baptist prophesied. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I forgot I wrote that down. Just go on. Jesus Christ is the sin offering acceptable to God the Father. This sin offering has been made. It is not being made now. That's what it said, David. Once. 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 And if you got a problem with that, it was only once. And at the end it says, for all. That means for all sin that he was going to take away. That's fine. But I like that. Once. Jesus Christ took upon himself the sins of his people. Jesus Christ died in their place for their sins, and he took away the punishment of sin, which is death. He that liveth and believeth in him shall never die. Believest thou this? Those were the words of Christ, and not mine. Believest thou this? I do. And I want you to also. Because he that liveth and believeth in Christ hath eternal life. Also past tense. Because, hey, if you liveth, you're not dead. And if you're living, somebody quickens you. And it's the Father quickeneth. And, well, even as the Father's done, the Son quickeneth. Whom he will. I like that. I do. God provided himself. God provided himself a lamb. A substitute, a sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. And 2,000 years ago, Christ said it, it is finished. That's what the sacrifices in the Old Testament look toward. There is no more sacrifice for sin. I don't know. It sounded like it was going to wind up there for a minute. There was one offering made once. By this one offering, Christ's people are sanctified and, by the same offering, perfected in him. I wish I was perfect now. In him I am. In him, you are, if you believe. Because the sacrifice for sin now is over. Christ did it. Christ ascended into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, because it is finished. And he's expecting that his enemies be made into his footstool. His enemies are going to be under his feet to be trod upon. And that's where they're going to be. God, through Christ, has by one offering sanctified and perfected his people. God provided God to be the sacrifice for sin. There's a famous quote where I believe it was Martin Luther. I heard Henry Mahan talk about it once, where Christ was on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Martin Luther looked at it and said, God, forsaking God, how can I understand that? And I don't know that I can, but I believe it. Christ said it. And adapting the old saying, that settles it whether I believe it or not. God forsook his son for his chosen people, because he hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Specific number of people. It's amazing how specific the Bible is and how general everybody else is. It's like that stuff that happened before the foundation of the world. They don't want to know nothing about. They don't want to know nothing about us all. They don't care, because they want everybody to be included. Christ was made the sacrifice for sin for his people. My righteous servant shall justify many. It's pretty simple. Because his sacrifice justifies. That's the other part they want to leave out. There's no place in the Bible here for God's done all he can do and now it's up to you. There's no place in the death of Christ, in the sacrifice of Christ, for me to do anything. Or for you to do anything. It is finished. It's done. And be ye reconciled to God. God was in Christ reconciling everybody unto God. I don't think so. People will quote whatever they want. People will change quotes. And people will just flat out deny what they read. And I've heard that live and in person. I've heard it on the radio and I've seen it on television. God provided God to be the sacrifice for sin. And God is satisfied with the death of his son for his people. That's it. There is no more offering. There is no more death for his people. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Abraham and Isaac knew it. Adam knew it. The sacrifices of the tabernacle, they knew it. Moses supposedly wrote these first five books of the Bible. Christ said, Moses wrote of me. And that's what we see here in this sacrifice. This type through Abraham and Isaac, the Father and the Son, providing the sacrifice for sin. By themselves. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again to be here. And we ask for your blessings in this place. And we ask that you give Walter the words we need to hear today. and give our hearts, our minds, your wisdom to understand your words. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did sacrifice himself for his people. In his name we pray. Amen.